I'm going to leave whether or not this is in character or out of character up to you, but you need to have like a discussion about how you're going to approach the Chantry loyalist faction. You know, the Black Divine and his cadre of magisters who are refusing to follow the Archon and vote to send troops for the Blight. You have an Antiven Crow who is willing to testify. Apparently, like, maybe she's, like, upped her demands, like, I'll only testify if Talgan agrees to have sex with me or something. it's fine.
That's not creepy at all.
Not creepy in the least. You've got an Antiven Crow who would be willing to testify about what she was hired to do, where she was hired to go, and who she reported to. But the rest of it is kind of up to you. So how do you want to approach this? What tactics are you going to be using?
We would still have the letter that we took that from Ego's house.
You do. Yes, you have that as well.
That's right, because he's an idiot and he just gave it to you.
But how do you want to use them? Are you going to try to blackmail them, or are you going to try to do a grand reveal thing to the rest of the ministry? Like, discuss your strategy.
Oh, definitely blackmail.
No, what? I was thinking the best way to do it is to be as dramatic as humanly possible, spearheaded by Elian, and like walk into the center of the chamber and be like, there's traitors amongst you.
Oh, gods. Yeah, the
you know, that's just a day in the Deventer Imperium.
Excellent. All the more reason to do it. Then we can murder some people on the Senate floor and just, you know, just have like a very good Tuesday.
A very normal Tuesday in Minrathis.
Oh, no.
I guess, I don't know. I do see Kay's point about like killing or like blackmailing people. That does sound like, is that going to work though?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, would it work? It's like, all right, you have a crow and you have letters. Who cares?
You can ask. You've got two magisters who might know a little bit more.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Well, one and a half magisters, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. We should definitely ask Dorian. But I just, like, I could see them just being like, I mean, why would anyone care?
So you want to ask Dorian?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, well, set it up in character. You've all been talking about this for a couple of minutes. You're discussing the best strategy for this. You've got a couple hours before you have to head to the Imperial Chantry to, you know, do the thing. And you're discussing, should we just blackmail? Should we just reveal? What do we do? And then...
So, I mean, do you think blackmail would work, Dorian? Like, could we just take this to them, or should we be more direct?
Dorian, he nods his head from side to side like he's kind of weighing the options. He says, well, I mean, I don't think it will surprise anyone at this table to know that the magisters are a bit shameless.
No, really.
I don't consider it a bad thing to be working against the Divine, the Southern Divine. However, if you frame it correctly, it might not go amiss. For example, if you bring it to Leliana first, and then to the Black Divine, or perhaps even take Leliana with you. Because if there's one thing that all magisters are, in addition to shameless, it's quite craven. They can crow and crow all day about how the Southern Divine is blasphemous or what have you, but they're not stupid. They know that the Southern Chantry is by leaps and bounds more powerful, more politically connected than them. They have an entire Templar army.
Well, good thing Elian is friends with Leliana then, Cass says, looking at him.
Friends?
Yes.
He seemed friendly. I agree with Kay.
Liliana's friendly with everyone.
I mean, it's true. Elian's just alarmed at the thought of being friends with the Divine, but, you know.
The more we talk about this, more I like the idea of bringing, like, Liliana to come in and, like, be part of the big reveal and being like, we have discovered evidence of treachery against our best friends.
Well, also, I mean, there was the whole thing that the entire point of sending the crow was to get blackmail that they could use against the Southern Divine.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorian says, and that's not a terrible strategy. If you do it this way, I would not recommend doing it in a grand reveal. Like I said, no one in Tevinter will be persuaded by the fact that they were stepping against the Southern Divine. But if you do it privately, make their immediate options very clear.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea being that if they agree to help us out with the Blight, we'll let this all just sort of quietly slip away.
It's not a bad strategy.
I think we have to go hit up Liliana.
Well, it's not like I don't have questions for her anyway.
It's almost like I set it up.
Oh, exactly.
No, what? That doesn't sound right.
So yeah, you agreed to go talk to Leliana. Okay, so it's like I said, you've still got a few hours before you have to meet the Imperial Chantry faction. So you do have time to just head to the Imperial Senate and just talk to Leliana. And by now, you've been there so many fucking times. Like, you go there all the time now. So it does not take you any... It's no difficulty at all getting there, and it's no difficulty getting audience with Leliana. The two Templars guarding her door, you know, move their swords aside and let you in. And Leliana is in her divine casual wear. You know, just like the robe without the stupid hat. And the robe is also kind of open, and she is still wearing Nug slippers.
Good. I was out of slippers.
And she's reading. She's got like a book open on her lap. And as you come in, she says, "Oh, hello. Welcome back. I thought you had that meeting today."
"We do, but we had a few things that we wanted to talk with you about first."
"It's actually while we're here."
"All right. Well, sit down. Do you want tea or anything?"
"Oh, God, yes, please."
"Okay." And she like nods to a nearby maid, and the maid nods and shuffles off to go get food and lady fingers and things like that.
Because we're Orlesian.
She says, "So what can I do for you?"
"Well, we went to the Grand Cathedral and..."
"At long last."
"We found out what the Grand Cleric had been researching."
She says, "Oh, okay." She does not look as curious as you expect her to look, which either means, like, she knows already, or she genuinely does not give a fuck.
We went because the Black Divine had contracted a crow to find out information about me."
"Mm-hmm, I know."
"Okay."
The servant comes back, serves them all tea. Leliana takes a nice long sip of hers.
"I feel like you already know everything I'm about to say." "Just a little stressful. Elian's never going to be comfortable saying this out loud, just for the record. My family is descended from Andraste."
"Mm-hmm." She takes another sip of tea.
"Of course you know."
"I did have to look into it a little bit."
"Couldn't have told me?"
"It wasn't really my secret to tell, Elian. Your family's security depends on it. Secrecy."
"Yeah. It does."
She says, "But now that it's out in the open, I guess there is the question of what you want to do with it now."
I don't even know. I mean...
"Well, I can give you a little bit more context. All of the notes and documents that I confiscated from the dissonance did reveal quite a lot." She says, "I have some understanding of why specifically your blood has..." And she, like, gestures, you know, at you. does that thing, the healing thing.
Uh-huh.
She says, "Well... this may or may not surprise you to know, Chartan, in addition to being one of Andraste's most trusted war generals and greatest confidants, was also a mage. And it was he who initiated a powerful ritual to empower her and bless her family line. The magic is quite old and it's been lost to time, but from what the dissonance was able to gather about it, the ritual involved a blessing for 1,000 generations, which weakens, understandably, over time. Who knows, by the 1,000th generation, maybe it'll be mostly inert. But it is fading over time, and eventually one day it should go away entirely." She says, "I don't know if you were expecting it to be a mark of divinity, but so far as the dissonance can tell, it's just magic. Magic like any other. Powerful magic. Longevous magic, but still just magic."
I think Elian just kind of lets out a breath he hadn't known he was holding, because he actually is quite relieved to find out it's not a mark of divinity, because he doesn't know how he would react to that.
That's so much less cool.
Leliana does add, she says, "Of course, you know, they say the Maker reveals himself in the things he does not do. So you could argue by the same coin that perhaps the Maker was working through Chartan. I suppose it's really just... a matter of what you personally believe, Elian."
"I admit the thought of it. I've been hunted by the Chantry for too long now. The thought of more scrutiny is just terrifying, but I mean, you had mentioned wanting to affect real change. Could this maybe help?
I suppose it could, she says. It would have to be done very carefully. There are a lot of bad actors in the Chantry who would try to exploit this discovery to serve their own ends. But it is possible, yes.
You going into religion now, Elian?
I can't outside of Tvinter, but that's not how the Southern Chantry works. Men can't be priests, or even if that's not something I would want, no, but...
She says, of course, your position wouldn't be ordained, Elian. That's not what I meant to imply.
No, it's just... I don't know what I would want.
Okay, well, for now I'll keep it a secret, but bear in mind, this secret will keep for as long as you want it to. And inaction in itself is a decision.
I know. I do know that. It seems unfair to worry about this when there's so much else on the line.
She says, part of the reason that I wanted to dissolve the Chantry was because of how important it actually is, Elian. She says, I know you grew up in the very traditional way of Orlais. You know the Chantry as just the place you went on the holy days and the place where marriages and funerals and other celebrations happen. But the fact of the matter is that this is important too, she says. Maybe not as important as a world-destroying blight, but not that far removed. She says, there are faithful people all over the world, from Ravain to Orlais, even in Tvinter, who would pay attention if something like this happened. This could shake the foundations of the Chantry itself, and I don't want you to write it off just because there's also a blight.
I just mean, I'm one person in all of this.
So is Lannan. So is Wren. They changed the world too.
And you're not alone, Elian. You have us.
I just made the sappiest face in real life. He just kind of gives you a grateful look for that. I guess what I'm saying is, this moment now, we need to focus on the blight. But I do recognize that it is important. I do want the Chantry to change. We've been associated with so many terrible things, and that was never the point.
The Chantry is an imperfect vessel. A very, very, very imperfect vessel. She says, I know you're thinking about it. I won't put too much pressure on you with my own thoughts and opinions. She says, now what was the thing about the, what was it? Something about the Black Divine's plot against me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to use all of this against you.
I remember. I've been aware of his schemes for a while now. What about them?
Well, we were hoping you might help us blackmail him into switching his vote.
Hmm. That could be done, she says, thinking, like leaning back in her chair, putting her nug slipper feet up on the little ottoman. She says, I mean, of course, it's all his machinations are no real substantial threat to the Southern Chantry, of course. But in my experience, the one thing men are always willing to believe is their own self-importance. So I could, I suppose, make it feel like a bigger deal and use it against him. Yeah, okay. I can see how that could work.
You're saying it's not a big deal?
Oh, no. He's playing tic-tac-toe while the rest of us are playing chess. He has no idea what he's doing. The Southern Chantry is much, much more powerful and connected than the Imperial Chantry ever could hope to be. I could certainly blow it out of proportion. Use it to blackmail him. Okay, yeah. Change his vote on the Blight, right?
Right.
I do remember Radana said that it was the Chantry loyalists who were holding out on their vote. Okay. Certainly, yeah. When's the meeting?
Out of character, it's this afternoon?
Today!
It's today, like in a couple hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
She says, oh, okay, I should probably get... probably take off the nug slippers.
Full regalia might be a little more impressive.
Okay, no nug slippers, and I'll put the hat on. She says, one second. She puts her tea down and she heads out.
I love Liliana.
And as she heads out, the character select screen pops up. So ideally there's not going to be any combat, right? Ideally it's just going to be a blackmail session, but this is me. This is my campaign. So who the fuck knows? What NPC do you want to take? Liliana is coming, but she's a non-combat NPC. So what combat NPC do you want to take in case shit goes down?
I was kind of, I don't know, what do you guys think? I was thinking Dorian.
That was also what I was thinking.
For reasons.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we had him toss around some spells. That's true.
And for no particular reason you want to take specifically Dorian.
Yep, no reason.
No reason at all.
There's no specific reason.
Not a single reason. No.
Okay, Dorian it is. So Liliana only takes a couple minutes to get ready. Like, you think, it, like, the headdress, like, she's got to have someone else put it on her, right? Because no way can she do that on her own in, like, 10 minutes. It's just way too tall. but she gets dressed in her full divine regalia. And, you know, she's got the red and white and, like, the gold fastenings and, like, the gold necklace and the whole thing. It's very impressive. and she says, well, I guess we might as well take my personal carriage to the Imperial Chantry. She says, oh, should I bring a weapon? I don't know. He doesn't seem particularly tough, right? Like, stiff breeze knock him over. Have you actually seen the Black Divine? Do you know if he,
I don't know. Have we?
I don't think so.
You saw him across the room once.
Yeah, once.
When you went to Wintersend Mass with Dorian Varys. You saw him across the room. What you remember about him is he's quite tall, quite thin, kind of handsome. He's got like a pointed beard, youngish. But past that, I mean, you assume he's a mage because everyone important in Tevinter is a mage.
Right.
Yeah. But past that, you don't really know how dangerous he is or anything. She says, all right, there's no real good place to hide a bow in this thing. She says, we've got lots of space for knives, but okay, I'll just take some knives. And then you watch the sort of mystifying process of, like, the Divine Victoria, like, hitching up one side of her robe, and she's already got, like, a dagger strapped to her thigh. And she just goes ahead and, like, adds a couple more. She has, like, a folding crossbow, like a handheld folding crossbow.
Okay, then.
Oh, God, Elian has such a crush.
And so she secures everything in place. She's like, okay, let's go. And Dorian meets you outside. And so you've been in, like, the Lucerne-owned carriage plenty of times now. It's very utilitarian. It's just, you know, it's two horses in a carriage that'll take you where you need to go. The Chantry method of transportation is just a tad more extravagant, unsurprisingly. Like, it's this big white carriage with, like, the sun motif on the doors and, of course, a giant statue of Andraste rising from the flames mounted on the back. It's a lot. Like, it's a lot. The Chantry doesn't do things by halves. And you've got, you know, an escort, like a full Templar escort that come in and, you know, open the door for Liliana and for you and let everyone inside. And you set off Thurman Rathis to the Imperial Chantry. Now, you, as I mentioned, you have been to the Imperial Chantry one time back during Wintersend when you went for Mass. All you remember about it is that it is really, really big and really, really beautiful. Is there anything you're talking about on the way there? Any last minute questions, discussions?
Where did we leave that crow, by the way?
Oh, I assume you had a method of, like, moving her. Probably Talgan watching her and, like, it's like, yeah, I'll take her wherever you want me to when the time is right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And, you know, the crow probably makes you like, oh, you can take me to so many places right now. And he's like, stop it. And he, like, sprays her with water. Stop it.
Just sprays her like, no
like
more of
that. Disobedient cat. Stop it. Put her in horny jail. Well, Dorian's in the carriage now and he says, so... Looking at you, Elian.
So?
Do you think the Maker invented evil, or...
Oh my god, is this really gonna be...
Clearly, like, Zevran has gotten all the other Lucerne in on this. Like, asking you really deep philosophical religious questions just to fuck with you. He's like, solve the problem of evil for me, Elian.
You still owe me for ego, shut up.
Owe you? All I did was suggest.
I just give him a look.
Liliana says, oh, I heard about that. Really went with seduction. First try, huh?
Oh, just please don't. Don't ever mention that ever again.
I've seen Magister Ego. He's like an overripe prune.
I'm probably going to kill Dorian at some point about all this, but, you know, it's no big.
Dorian in the back like, All I did was suggest. I don't know why the hostility. So, you arrive at the Imperial Chantry in the full, like you've got, you know, the Templar escort walking along with the carriage on the outside. And as soon as you step out, you are, you see a slave who is, as soon as you come in, who is like, you know, cleaning some of the back benches. He turns around, he sees the fucking Southern Divine enter, and he panics. And he like runs straight back to warn everyone else. And Liliana said, you know, it's probably for the best that we, haven't really announced ourselves. It's more dramatic this way, I feel like.
But I like her style.
Dorian says, I do love surprises.
Oh boy.
And Liliana seems to know the layout of the Imperial Chantry, which, how? Don't worry about it. And she just guides you straight back through the apse and takes you around a big left turn. And so she just sort of lets herself in. Like, there are these two. So Tevinter actually has a Templar order too. Kind of. Like, when you think of Templars in the South, you think of, like, these holy warriors who are sworn to protect the world from heretical magic. The Templar order in Tevinter is just, they just sort of serve the Chantry. Like, they guard circles, kind of, but they're really at the beck and call of mages. It's kind of just like a bad punchline, honestly. So the Southern Divine just sort of walks up to this door flanked by two Tevinter Templars, and they both startle, and she says, good morning, gentlemen, and then she, like, walks directly past them without even asking. And, like, what the fuck are they gonna do? She's, like, the Southern Divine. What the fuck are they gonna do?
Right.
And Dorian, like, winks at one of the Templars as you all head inside. So you enter this via a staircase. You enter this large room that seems like it's underneath the Imperial Chantry, you think, like a cellar, but it's like a formal meeting room. The walls are very, very old. Not surprising, like Androstianism itself is like 1,000 years old. Tevinter converted, I think, 800 years ago? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. DA snobs, don't fucking at me. Like, I don't remember right. When Tevinter converted to Androstianism. I haven't read the lore that carefully, Jesus. But it's an old building, and like the age shows in the walls. There's this long, fancy, like, finished glossy oak table, surrounding which are 12, 13 magisters, you presume, headed up by the Black Divine. So the Black Divine, you do not know his birth name, although you do know that his name is Divine Austerio. But as soon as the Divine sort of just barges in, he stands up, sort of shocked. He says, What is the meaning of this? And who wants to take the lead on this conversation?
Why, the surprise, Divine Astario. It's not like you haven't been plotting against Divine Victoria.
The Divine, you see, like, his shoulders go back and his eyes narrow, and he says, you just barge in here with these wild accusations and think you're in control? Get out or I'll have you thrown out by the Templars.
You're going to throw out the Southern Divine?
I don't think they'd like that very much, to be honest.
Liliana steps forward. She says, I have brought Templars of my own, Ostario. I think it's long overdue that you and I had a chat. And she, like, heads forward and she holds up the letter. First of all, you had that letter, Elian. Did he pickpocket you?
Love it.
She just holds it up and she says, my allies in the Lucerne have told me so many interesting things about this little faction of yours. Here's a fun fact. Lavinius Ego is sitting in sort of like in the corner of the table, looks like he just swallowed a bucket of ice. Like, oh, fuck. And Lavinius Ego looks like he tries to sink into the floor, like maybe just lie down and like roll out of the room so no one sees him. She says, I was personally shocked and appalled at all of the horrible plots that you have been putting against me. She says, hiring an Antivan crow to break into the Grand Cathedral at Valroyo. She's with us now. I hope that doesn't infringe on any of your plans too badly. And Divine Ostario looks a little bit pale at the accusation. He says, you do know that in enemy state, breaking into the Grand Cathedral of Orlais is considered not only an act of war, but also a sin against the Chantry and the Maker. And Ostario says, I will not stand here and be accused by... She says, I'm not accusing, Divine Ostario. I have proof. I have the crow you hired. I have the note proving the connection between the two of you. She says, I'm not here to negotiate with you. This is not a peace talk. This is a threat. Everyone roll perception hearing for me.
Okay, great. Ooh.
So, Sabre, you are deeply enjoying this whole confrontation.
Yeah, it's great.
Like,
it's
you understand
really
maybe like 35% of like the subtle politics at play, but it's just fun watching a woman that you like is like an okay word to describe how you feel, but like she's a friend of your brother's. Like maybe yeah, she's with the Chandri, but like she's cool.
Yeah,
like you just enjoy watching a woman that you like just rip apart a guy you just fucking hate.
Always fun to watch.
It's a great show. You love it here. You can't help but notice while this is all going on, and it is extremely dramatic, so which explains perhaps why you're the only one who's noticing it. You can't help but notice there's something rumbling.
Oh, God.
It sounds like it's coming from down, like under.
I look down, and I'm like, does anyone else hear that?
No one's listening to you. They're all also enjoying the show. Because it is a great show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an awesome... So Leliana steps forward and she says, it would not be out of the question, Divine Astario, for me to reveal all of these machinations to my thousands and thousands of faithful that follow me, to the small army of Templars that still exist under my control, to start an exalted march, perhaps, on Tevinter. That would make it the second exalted march on Tevinter, no? And he says, you can't just... hurl empty threats around here. Like, she says, these threats are not empty, Astario. Like I said, this isn't a negotiation, this is a threat. She says, the only reason I'm not doing any of that is because, unfortunately, the Archon needs the votes of your little sycophants here to bring an army against the real threat, which is the Blight.
Is this still going on? The rumbling?
Yep, it is still going. Actually, it's getting a little louder now.
Okay.
It's getting a little louder.
I hit Cassandra. I'm like, Cassandra?
What?
Do you hear the rumble? There's something going on. There's rumbling noises.
What are you talking about?
Cassandra, just listen and look at the floor.
I'm like, all right, and I look at the floor.
Yeah, you think you hear it, but like, honestly, like, this show is really entertaining, Cassandra. Like, you love this. This is great for you.
All right, this is really fun for me. Also, I don't really have the same hearing as you, so I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, and I just like turn back to Lily.
Like,
all right.
Oh, you bitch. Oh, fuck. Can I go look out the window while the fighting is happening?
You're in the basement. There are no windows.
Oh, there's no windows. Yeah. There's like, oh, fuck. I'm like looking around frantically to be like, I know Dorian won't listen to me, so I'm not going to bother him.
Dorian is enjoying the fuck out of this. He's just like leaning against the wall. He'd be eating grapes if he could. This is great for him.
Elian, there's rumbling from the floor. I'm concerned that something bad is happening.
As you are doing this, the Divine Astario, like, pulls himself up to his full height, and he says, I will not be bullied by our heathen brethren to the south, he says. You come in here saying that the Blight is the true threat? I disagree, Divine Victoria. I think you are the true threat, you and your cronies. We've had no firm evidence of a Blight. We've seen no archdemon. You are just trying to divert the subject, he says. You and your Lucerne allies are here to destroy Tevinter. Suddenly the wall explodes behind him.
Fuck.
Uh-oh. Sending showers of rock and dust pulverized mortar into the air. Everyone pretty much assembled around the table screams as a massive, about 12-foot tall ogre comes barreling out from this hole underneath the chantry and screams.
What the fuck? I like turned to Cassandra and I'm like, I fucking told you.
Sorry.
Divine Victoria takes a couple steps back. Everyone go ahead and roll initiative.
Where the fuck did that come from?
I do like that you are first in the initiative order, Sabre.
It does kind of make sense. Considering.
No one believed me. But look.
Look at that. Ha.
So. Fucking pandemonium breaks out, like, immediately. You hear, like, obviously bursting through a stone wall has pretty severely damaged the structure of the Imperial Chantry. And there you hear, like, the walls rumble treacherously. The magisters all scream and, like, skitter back away from the fight. The rest of you have rolled initiative. So the first thing that happens is the divine, the black divine, turns around, screams. The ogre picks the divine up and bites his entire, like, third, like, the top third of his body just off.
What?
Like, oh, just all of it off.
No, wait.
And
Divine
Ostario is now dead.
That was our entire plan. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to activate Spirit Warrior. I really want to get some stunt points so I can use this cool new stunt I have.
Oh, I am rooting for you, my friend.
Oh, here's hoping that I can roll well. But in the meantime, I'm just going to try to, like, fucking hit him with a spear because I'm just like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
A 13.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No, that's a hit. Ogres are not a hard target.
Okay.
Their defense is 11. It's like hitting the broadside of a barn. 16 damage. He's got 7 armor rating, so that's 9.
So yeah, I'm going to push him back away as far away as I can from Liliana.
And as you do that, like, as you do the action of, like, pushing the ogre backward, you hear, oh, there's more darkspawn. Like, there's a lot of darkspawn coming up through this hole.
No, what?
Like, you can smell it. You are in the deep roads. You know what darkspawn smells like now.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
There's more of them coming. Elian, you're next.
Fuck. So allies within, I think, 12 yards of me gain a +1 attack bonus, as long as I maintain the song, and maintaining it is a free action.
Dope. So you all get a +1 on your attack rolls now.
Oh, nice.
Yay.
Hell yeah. Next up in the order is Dorian. Dorian is, alarmed. I feel like alarmed is a good word, for what he is feeling right now. He will use Drain Life, so he needs to cast a spell. The TN is 12. A 14 is more than enough to hit, and he has 3 stun points, which means he's going to use Empower Spell, which means he can do an extra d6 damage. 12 penetrating damage, and he gets healed, but he doesn't have any damage. You see, it's entropic magic, so it looks sort of reddish gold almost, as it's literally sapped out of the ogre's skin and returns to Dorian's outstretched hands. It's very cool.
Hmm.
Okay, Cassandra, you are up next in the initiative order, my babe.
Okay. So Bray pushed the ogre back, and then now I assume we can see all of the other darkspawn coming through.
Oh no, it's only Sabre. He hasn't said anything.
Oh shit, no, I meant to say something. There's more coming, y'all. I can hear them.
Dorian will shout out, let them come, I've got horror waiting. That horror was the thing that he used on that rage demon at the Arlathen that keeps it frightened.
Excellent. He is useful. All right, I'm going to go for something long then. Let's do Arcane Lance to the big smashy boy.
Smash the smashy boy. A 16 is more than enough to hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
Perfect. Power Lance. You can increase the damage of an Arcane Lance by 1d6 by spending 2 mana points. Sure, I'll do that.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
So 2d6 plus 2 in that case.
8 damage. That's penetrating.
And I'm going to activate Arcane Warrior mode.
Hell yeah. Fuck them up. It is now Ogre 1's turn. Ogre 1 is going, Ogre is, like, I'm looking at the cunning score, it is -1. Oh no, I'm sorry, -2. So they're not super bright, they're just gonna hit the nearest thing to them, which is you, Yariel, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, that checks out.
You watch as the ogre reaches out and grabs a boulder the size of you, Yariel, and smashes it down on top of you.
Excellent.
Or at least attempts to. Let's see. 22 God. With 3 stun
yeah,
points.
Yeah, that hits.
So I'm just going to go ahead and make this a mighty blow, which is 4d6 plus 9 damage. That is 18 damage.
Excellent.
And right after he, like, smashes this rock, you deftly dodge a little bit out of the way to, like, only take some of the damage. It's fine. As you are doing this, the wall, like, a couple feet away from this ogre also explodes. And another ogre rears its ugly head, literally pushing its head through this gap in the wall, screaming and, like, fishing one massive arm out, trying to grab one of the magisters who, like, screams and, like, runs away like a child.
God.
And then, directly behind them, you can hear another particular shriek. I would like all of you to roll. I guess this would be... Mimi, are you behind the desk? Mimi, get out of there, please. That's not for Four. Cats. It's too small for you. Perception hearing, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so Elian, you recognize that particular shriek. That is the shriek of an emissary.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Magic wielding darkspawn.
What's an emissary?
And it is pretty close. You can't see it. You don't have a visual yet, but it's getting pretty close. We are back to the top of the initiative order with Sabray.
There's an emissary.
Shit. Okay, I'm gonna target the new ogre that just came in, because we're already like getting some damage down on the other one, and I'm gonna try to do judgment on it.
Okay, you can only see like a third of its body, but I guess that's not a disqualifier for using judgment. So remind me of the mechanics of this.
They have to roll dex against my willpower.
Well, the good news is their dex is one. So okay, so you summon Justice up within yourself. Justice is like, fuck yeah, let's get this bread.
I like high five him as he's coming.
White magic lances out from your outstretched hand, and you can see the ogre scream as it is consumed by white fire and dies instantly. Ogre 2 is out of commission. Congratulations.
Woo. Good.
I'm like, I can do that once, motherfucker, so you better do some cool shit.
You are surrounded by magic users. It's fine, we'll be fine.
Elian, you're up next.
So, I've got Ogre 1 in front of me.
And an emissary somewhere. You don't have a visual on them yet.
Yeah, that really worries me. Okay, so I think I'm just gonna do aim and do a throwing knife.
Okay. 20 Whoa. With 6 stun points? Okay, you have got...
what the fuck?
You have hit him, and you've got 6 stun points to do with what you will, Elian.
Lethal blow, please.
Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely lethal blow.
22, that's not penetrating damage, so it's minus 7. Okay. That was Elian's turn. Dorian is up to the top of the order. He still has no visual on the emissary, so he's just gonna try to keep hitting this one. Actually, he's gonna use walking bomb.
Ooh.
Hoping that you can kill it soon and the explosion can hit the emissary. He needs to cast Entropy TN13. 18 is more than enough. So, Walking Bomb. You infuse the blood of an opponent within 10 yards with a corrosive poison. The round you cast at Walking Bomb inflicts 1d6 plus 1 penetrating damage. While the spell is in effect, the target must make a con stamina test versus your spell power at the start of each of their turns. If successful, the spell ends. If it's failed, the target takes another 1d6 plus 1 penetrating damage. Should this spell's damage reduce the target's a plus con? It does have a... It's got an 8 in con. Okay, that's not ideal. But he also has a very high TN to beat, so there's that. So it does 1d6 plus 1 penetrating damage just to start, just for flavor. Okay, so just 7 damage for now. Okay, Cassandra, you're up.
All right, so we've still got Big Smashy Boy.
Big Smashy Boy, and there's an emissary nearby, but you do not have a visual.
Okay. Well, since I already activated combat magic, I'm gonna go to the one that I can still see, the Big Smashy Boy. 5, so I'm going to smash it with the magic blade thingy. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so I'm going to, when I activate the combat magic, I can go into Fade Shroud mode, so now I have a ghostly countenance.
Spooky.
Basically means I'm partially invisible now.
Freaky.
It is very freaky, right? But increases my defense by 3. So you can kind of see like a Kaz-shaped outline, dope. And you're like, what the?
That's awesome.
That's dope as hell.
So now I can smash it. Ooh, 6 stun points.
Nice.
6 stun points and 18 is more than enough. So what do you want to do with those stun points, my sweet darling?
Shit.
Does this count as a spell?
I mean, it's a melee attack. Like, she's using a melee weapon. It's a magical melee weapon. I like lethal blow would apply.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I think I'll just do a lethal blow.
Ooh, that's 3d6 plus 2d6.
Plus, yeah, nice. Exactly.
Plus your magic, I believe. 23 penetrating Whoa. Damage. Fuck wow. yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It is now the ogre's turn. The ogre is going to suffer the effects of walking bomb. It needs to roll con. Oh, no. Okay, well, the effects of walking bomb are ended, unfortunately.
Oh.
I was really hoping it could explode and hurt the emissary.
Yeah. It was a good
thought.
That would
have been really awesome.
That would have been cool. Yeah, Dorian's like, yeah, I probably should have anticipated that something that huge would be have a pretty good constitution score, but you know, Pobody's nerfed. So it is the ogre's turn. The ogre is going to pick you all the way up, Sabray, and just try to smash you just straight.
God fucking damn it.
Straight to hell. Throw you straight to hell.
Excellent. Great.
That's a 20. I assume 20 hits.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
does it does. Hit? It does? Okay.
Yeah.
That's 2d6 plus 9. That is 14 minus your armor rating.
Okay.
You see a flicker of magic from behind the ogre in the darkness. And then from behind you, you feel a jolt of lightning go out and hit you, Cassandra.
Oh.
The TN for this spell is 16. 18 is more than enough, so that is going to be 2d6 plus its magic penetrating damage. So 2d6 plus 4. 11 penetrating damage to you, Cass.
Okay.
And the emissary is now on the opposite side of the room behind you, which is a really big problem for the magisters who, in the chaos of all of this, had finally decided, like, we should go, right? Like, we should leave. And then they turn around to do that, and oh no, there's an emissary. That was the emissary's turn. So, Bray, we're back up to the top of the order with you. There is still the ogre. And there's also an emissary on the other side of the room behind you.
I don't care that much about the magisters. And we should take one thing down at a time. So, gonna try to hit the fucking ogre. I'm gonna see if I can just try to, like, throw my spear, like, directly, like, drive it through its eyes. I'm gonna throw it.
Oh, fuck yes, please do.
Hell yes.
Oh, God.
So, hell yes.
Here's hoping I don't fucking screw this up. That would be bad.
You got a plus one on your attack roll, remember.
Oh, yeah, that puts me at a 10, then.
18 is more than enough. No stun points, but go ahead and roll damage. 14 minus its defense, or of its armor of 7 is... 7. So yes. Okay, yes.
Sweet.
Perfect. So Bray, you hoist your spear up and you throw it forward. It catches the ogre right in the eye. It goes through the roof of its mouth and, like, straight up, like, the eye explodes from behind.
Shit, that's going to be hard to get out.
The ogre staggers a bit, then groans and collapses. Just the weight of this ogre collapsing sends the entire room shuddering, and you all become aware, not for the first time, that this room is really old. Like, it's a really old room. This building is very old, and there was a lot of that rumbling. You are a little bit concerned for the structural integrity of this chantry.
Should we?
Elian, you're next up in the order. You would run up, but unfortunately there's an emissary in the way. Mm-hmm. What do?
Okay. Fuck. Guess the dagger thing again?
Okay, roll to hit. 20 is a hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay.
9 non-penetrating damage. So...
And I did not use aim on my attack roll, so I'm going to say that I'm going to use one of the uses of crow poison, because I think that makes extra damage. On the dagger afterwards.
Okay. Dorian is back up to the top of the order. Dorian says shit a lot. he doesn't want to try walking bomb because there's not an additional target again. So he is going to cast Animate Dead on the ogre.
Oh.
this is a very high TN roll, TN 17, but he also has a very good entropy. So let's see how this go. Oh, Dorian, yes!
Yeah!
You have 5 stun points. Oh, good. So you see Dorian do something you've never seen him do before. All of you have known in theory that Dorian was a necromancer, but you've never seen him actually use necromancy before. It looks very cool. He closes both eyes and his hands glow with red entropic energy. What literally happens is he summons a spirit from the Fade and forces it into the body of an ogre bound to obedience and told to kill.
God,
the ogre,
that's the coolest thing,
right?
Still with the spear up through the roof of its mouth, stands up and goes loping toward the emissary, and it's going to try to hit the emissary. So let's see how this go. It's got a plus 11 on it. 22 is more than enough to hit, so it's going to do
nice.
2d6 plus 9 damage. So 16 damage minus its armor rating of 12 damage. Oh, Dorian. I'm so glad that you finally have Dorian in your party.
Yay!
With you. So this dead ogre Dorian forces a spirit into and then bounds to obedience to attack. It is extremely cool. The dead ogre launches itself toward the emissary. Very, very cool and awesome, and Dorian is very self-satisfied. He's like, oh, I love it when I do that. Next up in the order is Cassandra.
Can I see the emissary now?
I mean, there's a very large ogre in front of it. So it's a little bit obstructed, but you can, you know, move and cast a spell if you need to.
Yeah, probably. I just see like the ogre get up and I'm like, okay, sure. Wow, that's a thing you can do. Awesome.
Necromancy's pretty dope. It's got a bad reputation.
Right.
Mostly because, you know, most people in Thetis don't understand what necromancy is.
But when it's working for us, I'm like, yeah. Also, it looks weird with a thing for the roof of its mouth. But anyway, I'm going to go around and smash the thing then. Oh, damn.
A 16 is a hit, and you've got 5 stun points.
Sweet. I just really like Lethal Blow. It's real cool. Real cool.
It is very cool. Go ahead and roll damage.
Ooh. Nice.
30 penetrating damage. Ugh. Cassandra.
That is super cool.
The emissary does not like that one bit, ma'am. So he's going to use lightning on you again. 18 is more than enough to hit.
Mm.
13 penetrating damage, Cassandra.
Okie doke.
And that is the emissary's turn. So, Bray, we're back up to the top of the order with you. Dorian and Cass both just did extremely cool things.
My spear is not coming out of the ogre without some work, so...
Yeah, Dorian's busy with it, so...
Yeah, he's...
Yeah. I'm going to grab Virsaladine instead, and I'm just going to go after the other thing.
The emissary.
Mm-hmm.
Emissary.
Yes.
The magic thing.
Go ahead and roll damage. 16 is a hit. Roll damage. 13 damage, non-penetrating, so minus 4, so 9. Okay, it's getting pretty low. Next up in the order is Elian.
I didn't want to get near this thing, but I think I'm going to have to.
You can do something dope like backstab.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out if I could do backstab. That's a dex stealth versus their perception seeing.
Oh, it's rolled a 6. Yeah, I mean, 6 is less than 16.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, go ahead and roll backstab damage.
Woohoo! Okie dokie.
22 hits. Roll damage. 21? How much of that is penetrating?
1d6 of that.
So 6 damage. So Elian sneaks up behind it, sinks his blade into the back of this emissary. It screams and twists away into a vanish of smoke. And you are all left sort of panting, you know, kind of winded after that pretty significant fight. And you look back at the group of magisters who are still cowering in the corner.
They're still here.
And you're all just kind of silent for a moment. And Liliana says, so maybe this is a bad time to point this out, but the Black Divine is dead. And they look scared enough. Dorian says, scared enough to what? What are you talking about?
Choose a new leader.
A new Black Divine.
It's a good point. I mean, they need somebody, so.
Says what? Where are we going to get one of those? We don't just have spare Black Divines lying around anywhere, do we?
We all turn and look at Dorian.
Right.
Dorian's like, why are you all looking at me?
Hey friends, Tessa here. If you're desperate to hear the next episode, chances are good that you can by joining our Discord server. We post links to all episodes in pre-release, and you can even chat with us and listen live as we record. Join us by going to bit.ly/CFCDiscord. For more information on the show, character biographies, and links to social media, head to our website, critfail.club or critfailclub.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Critfail Club does not advertise at all, so if you like what you hear, tell a friend who might also like it, make a post on social media about it, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Full episodes are available on our YouTube channel, bit.ly/CFCchannel, or wherever you get your podcasts.